Hello, everyone. I'm glad you could join us today in Advanced Studio Classroom. I'm your teacher, Ruth. I'm here visiting from Montana again, and I'm glad to have the chance to spend some time with you. We're going to be talking about a very interesting topic today, but I guess every topic in advanced is interesting, right, Hazel?
Well, I hope so.
And Zach, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Glad to be on the program, Ruth.
We're glad to have you. And the title of our article is Canine to the Rescue. What is a canine?
Canine is a dog.
Any dog, right?
That's right.
Because actually it's the scientific or the word that we use to categorize them. So any dog is a canine. And sometimes we just refer to them as a canine.
Right. And sometimes the word canine, instead of being spelled out, is a K with a dash and then the number 9.
That's right.
So if you ever see K-9, you know that that's talking about something related to dogs.
Yes, indeed it is. If you haven't yet, listeners, please open your magazines to page 26. Now, this is not just any dog. This is a golden doodle. What is that?
A golden doodle is a cross between two breeds of dogs. So a golden retriever is one of those breeds, and a poodle is the other. So they attach the oodle from poodle to golden, you know, and they get golden doodle.
And this is very, very common now, at least in the United States, is there's a lot of what they call designer dogs, where they breed two purebreds to get a totally different kind. And actually, some of these dogs are very expensive. You can have a golden doodle, as Hazel said, is a cross between a golden retriever and a poodle. If you have a lab, like a Labrador retriever and a poodle, you have a labradoodle. And there's some even stranger ones. There's another kind of dog, which is a schnauzer, and you put that with a poodle and you have a schnoodle. So if you see any strange kind of names for dogs, it's generally because it is one of these designer breeds. But this golden doodle is not just a cute face. He is a service dog.
That's right. It was really neat to read the article and to hear about kind of what all these dogs can do. What they're trained for, and just, yeah, the kind of the relationship they have with their mm-hmm. owners.
Right. So a service dog is not a pet, is it, Hazel?
No, it's not, and there are many kinds of service dogs. There are seeing eye dogs, which you've probably heard of, that help blind people, lead blind people. There's hearing ear dog, so that someone that's deaf, if their phone rings or if there's a buzzer or a fire alarm, it can notify them. Or notify them if someone's at the door. So there are all kinds of dogs. There are dogs that perhaps someone is immobile. They can't move around, and the dog might be able to pick things up if they drop them or go get them things. So dogs are amazing, and they can help a lot, and that's called a service dog.
Yes, and they're specially trained. They have to have years of special training to be able to do this. You don't just go to a pet store and buy a service dog, and we will hear more about that in the article. But this particular service dog protects a woman from seizures. And if you look down in the vocabulary focus, you see the seizure is a sudden attack of illness, which involves usually unconscious or violent movement. There are many diseases that involve this. And it's so amazing, a dog can sense when a person is going to have a seizure so they can lead the person to a safe place so they don't hurt themselves. So it's really a necessary thing.
Right. They have some dogs that can sense even cancer. They're working and seeing if that's the case. And so there's many kinds of senses, or a dog's senses are a lot more acute, a lot more sensitive than ours, and so perhaps by sense of smell or just some kind of awareness that we don't know about, they can sense these things.
So they're an amazing help to people who have medical issues. Well, let's begin reading our article and find out more about this particular golden doodle service dog. Let's begin in line 1.
Canine to the Rescue. Golden Doodle's service dog protects a woman from seizures. When you enter Kiera Williamson's Michigan home, the first thing she asks you to do is pray for her. The 23-year-old has cerebral palsy and cri du chat, a chromosomal disorder, and a seizure disorder. She often experiences 2 to 45 seizures per day and needs constant attention. Kiera, whose dad is a minister, believes in the power of prayer. And the family has found an answer to some of those prayers. A 60-pound dog. Diego, a golden doodle, is a specially trained service animal that can sense when Kiera is about to have a seizure and protect her from harm. The cuddly canine has transformed the family's life, said Kiera's parents, the Reverend Daniel and Anitra Williamson.
Well, it says here the first thing that happens when you enter Kiera Williams' house or home is she asks you to pray for her. Prayer can really change things, and a lot of people believe that prayer makes their lives better, and I'm sure Kiera is one of those. And what is this 23-year-old Kiera Williams' problem?
Yeah, so Kiera, as young as she is, only 23 years old, is diagnosed with cerebral palsy and suffers from frequent seizures.
That's right. Cerebral palsy is, again, a disease where you, well, it's not really a disease. It's a condition that people have where they cannot move their body the way that others normally do. And it's something that you're born with, generally.
Right.
But that's not her only medical issue.
No, it's not. She has, can you help me with this word?
I think it's cri de chat.
Okay. Maybe a French word, but that's another disorder that she has, and a chromosomal disorder that she was born with. Maybe she's missing a chromosome or has an extra one, and that would cause a disability, perhaps.
Right. Again, cri de chat is in our specialized terms. You can read a little bit more about it, and of course you can Google it online if you want to. But basically, she's got some major medical issues. She cannot live a normal life because of these problems. And as we know, chromosomes are the little tiny bits of information that are in each one of our cells that make us who we are and that tell our bodies how to work in a certain way. And if one of those chromosomes is not correct or has been damaged, that is when you get things like cerebral palsy or cri de chat. So, how many seizures a day does Kiera have?
Well, she could have as few as two or as many as about 45. That's a lot.
And if you're having to take care of her, if you're her caregiver, that would be very difficult.
Absolutely. You would need to really constantly be paying attention, have an eye out, and just be aware of, you know, any needs or anything that she might be doing throughout the day. So a lot of attention.
That's right. So it would be, sometimes we say she would need attention 24/7, which means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm sure that was very difficult for her parents because they would need to provide the care. Well, Kiera's dad is a minister, and he believes in the power of prayer.
Yes, he does. And the family found an answer to some of those prayers, a 60-pound dog. We usually don't think of dogs as an answer to prayer, but sometimes they are.
Well, in this case, I think they are because the dog performs a very special function and is a big help to Kiera. So probably his prayer was, Lord, please help us find a way to help our daughter. And now they have Diego. And he is a golden doodle, and he's a specially trained service animal. And what can he do for Kiera, Zach?
Yeah, it says that he can do a lot, but it seems like his major function is to kind of protect her and just to kind of, when she is feeling that seizure coming on, to be there as a way to protect her.
Right. So he can sense, and this is something that Hazel mentioned, dogs have amazing sense of smell or something that's way beyond human capacity. So he can know that she's going to have a seizure probably before she knows she's going to have one.
Right. Some service dogs help people that are pretty able-bodied. They're pretty independent, but from time to time they have a seizure. And so the dog senses it and warns them, and then they can go to a safe place or sit down or do something to protect themselves. So a dog that knows when you're going to have a seizure is a big help. It could transform the way you live.
It can. It would actually give you more independence because I think part of the problem with a seizure is you often don't know when they're going to happen. And you might be in a shopping mall. You might be walking down a staircase, someplace where you could be injured if you had a seizure. So now the dog can sense that and can take her to a safe place or at least warn her that it's coming. And that would transform her life. And that is what we see here. The cuddly canine transformed the family's life. And if you look at the picture here, he's a very cute dog. He's very cuddly. What other things are cuddly, Zach?
Yeah, so when I think of cuddly, I imagine a child with his cuddly teddy bear or maybe a favorite blanket, something to, yeah, you often feel protected by, or it's just warm and fuzzy and you want to kind of embrace it.
Exactly, because cuddly, you see the word cuddle in there, which means to embrace and hold on to and just feel, we could say, warm fuzzies for.
Right, and this dog looks pretty cuddly.
She looks very cuddly. So he protects her from harm, and that's transformed her life because her parents no longer have to be always watching her to see when the seizure comes. Let's continue reading the rest of this section.
When Kiera's seizures start and she starts to bite or slap herself, Diego will nudge her, wedging his face between hers so he takes the blow. Anitra Williamson said she didn't take a shower for 20 years unless daughter Kiera was within arm's reach for fear of losing her to a seizure. When Kiera first got Diego, she said, "Thank you for saving my life," Anitra Williamson said. "I knew he would impact Kiera's life, but I never realized how much he would impact my life."
Not every seizure is the same. People have different kinds of movements or different kinds of behaviors as they happen. And in this particular case, what happens when Kiera starts to have a seizure?
Well, apparently she starts to bite herself or maybe even slap herself. And so, of course, that can be dangerous or harmful to a person.
Yes, she may hurt herself just because she's
right,
beating up or biting on herself.
Your body's out of control, and so it's very easy to get injured if someone has a seizure.
That's right. So what will Diego do? He will nudge her. What is a nudge, Zach?
That's right. So it seems in this sense, Diego will kind of come alongside and kind of just bump or to tap her and get her attention. So yeah, when I think of nudge, if I'm next to someone, I'm kind of poking them or tapping them.
To get their attention.
That's right.
And often you nudge someone with your elbow if you're a person. And if you're a dog, you probably nudge with your nose.
Probably so. So Diego gives her a gentle push, or maybe a little bit more than gentle, just so that maybe she knows he's there. And he wedges his face between her face and probably her arms that are trying to hurt her, or between maybe where her arms where she might bite herself. So it's not clear in the article that that's where Diego's face is wedging itself, but it's between something, her face and something else.
Yes, and listeners, I want to point out that this article is a reprint from a newspaper in America, and unfortunately, none of us are perfect, and publications also aren't perfect. So this is one case where it's not clear in the text what they actually mean, but you will often come across this reading a publication where you just kind of have to fill in the blanks yourself. So please don't call us and point out that we made a mistake, because we didn't make a mistake. It's just the way the article is written, and we sometimes have to deal with things like that when we read articles from other places. But I think Hazel explained it very well, that he would wedge, which means to force your way between two things that are close together. Oftentimes you think about wedging your hand into a small space, or wedging some other kind of tool into an area where you have to really force it to go in. And maybe if she's slapping herself, Diego is wedging his face between her hand and her face. So it's not clear. We just kind of have to imagine as we go along. And it says here that Anitra, her mother, had a bit of a problem at first with her daughter.
Well, it says she didn't take a shower for 20 years, and when I read that, I paused and thought, whoa, no. But then when I read the rest of the sentence, it made more sense. Well, she didn't take a shower unless her daughter was right there within arm's reach. She wanted to be able to help her daughter if there was an emergency.
Right. So anytime something's within arm's reach, it's close enough to touch. Obviously, your arm is only a certain length. Sometimes when we're watching TV, we like to have the remote within arm's reach. Or if we're sitting at a table doing work, we like to have all of our tools, our pencils and pens, within arm's reach.
Or snacks.
That's important. I like my snacks within arm's reach. And the reason she did this, why did she want to have her within arm's reach, Zach?
Sure. So as we're learning about, she suffers from these seizures, and so this is a part of the condition where you need to kind of keep her at a close distance to protect her, and you can kind of get a sense of the struggle or the burden of kind of dealing and keeping an eye on a child who might suffer from this.
Mm-hmm. And it's as it says in the rest of the line, fear of losing her to a seizure. And this does not mean you can't find her. This actually means that she might die. And sometimes we use this phrase in American culture, sometimes just like Chinese culture, we don't like to say the word death or die. Mm-hmm. We have different words we use. And we might say, for example, oh, I lost my mother to cancer last year. That would mean that my mother passed away from cancer. And here she was afraid of losing her to a seizure. In other words, she was afraid a seizure might kill her.
And her daughter, it was for 20 years, so her daughter is about 20 years old at this time, and so that's quite a burden to have to carefully watch, keep your daughter within arm's reach constantly.
Right, and what did Kiara say when she first got Diego? What did she say to that dog?
She said, "Thank you for saving my life." The very expectation and the very thing that her mother was concerned about.
Yes, so I'm sure that was a relief for her mother, because part of, I think, having a service dog is that the person who needs the dog and the dog bond. They have a good relationship. The person has to like the dog has to like the person. And I think that's definitely the case here. And Anitra said she knew that the dog would impact some kind of influence on Kiara's life, but she never realized how it would impact her own life.
Right. It changed her life a lot, too, and at first she didn't realize that would happen, but I'm sure she was very delighted when it did.
Yes, because she could take a shower by herself in the bathroom and not have her daughter right there. And I think if any of you listeners are caregivers, if you take care of an older parent or maybe you have a disabled sibling or child, you know exactly what this article is talking about, the worry and concern you have for another person's safety who can't care for themselves. So having this dog has changed everybody's life. But let's find out a little bit about how they got the dog. It was not exactly an easy process. Let's read again in line 7.
A long road. The Williamsons' journey to get Diego started 7 years ago. Anitra Williamson applied for a service dog for Kiara. 9 months later, her request was denied because Kiara was unable to handle the dog by herself. Discouraged, Anitra waited about 4 years before trying again. I was at the University of Michigan, and there was a doctor there who had been with Kiara for years, Dr. Daniel Teitelbaum, and he was like, "I really think you should pursue it," said Anitra. He said, "Just because one person told you no, don't get discouraged."
All right, we learned that it's been a long process for the Williamsons, that's the name of the family, to get the dog. And here it mentions their journey. Does that mean they had to go, like, to New York or San Francisco to get the dog?
Right. So here, yeah, we'll see that this family was on a journey to get the dog. And here, journey is being used more in the abstract sense, not a real physical journey like they traveled necessarily, but referring to something more of like you said, the process or the steps that they had to kind of go through in order to get the dog.
Right. So if your education can be a journey, because maybe before you find exactly the job you want, maybe you try several different things. So the idea, because you're going through or experiencing things, we call it a journey.
Right. And often sometimes you'll hear that referred to, a teenager in adolescence. Oh, well, they're on their journey. They're kind of making those life decisions and kind of learning along the way.
Right.
And I think that relates to a long road also. So when it says a long road, it doesn't mean you're actually traveling, but it means usually a long road is a difficult road full of choices or decisions or obstacles. So the long road, it's a long process, a long journey to get this service dog.
Yes, so that's a good word to use either for an actual physical trip or just something that happens in your life. Your marriage could be a journey. Your health situation can be a journey, like it was for Kiera. So there's lots of different ways to use it. So we start back at the beginning. They applied for a service dog for Kiera, and then they waited 9 months, and what happened, Zach?
So here it seems as though their request was denied, which means it didn't go through, it wasn't processed, they were unable to acquire the dog.
For what reason?
Yes, it says that she was unable to actually handle the dog by herself.
And again, handle here doesn't mean physically picking up the dog, it means being able to make the dog do what she wants it to do. She was unable to do that.
In fact, in dog shows, the person that takes the dog to the show and enters the dog with the dog is called the handler. And so we often talk about handling dogs or putting them on the leash and having control of the dog. So unfortunately, though, they were denied the request. They were told no.
So, of course, Anitra was discouraged. Anytime you're denied, I think you are discouraged. But she didn't give up, did she?
No, she did not. She waited, it says, for over 4 years before trying again.
So she tried again, and I think that is one important thing, is that we shouldn't give up. We should go ahead and try again.
And I think we should encourage others, because she was discouraged. She waited 4 years, and then she met someone that encouraged her to try again. So at the University of Michigan, there was a doctor there who had been with Kiera for years, and this doctor said that he thought she should try to pursue it again, try again. And you notice that it says just before the doctor's quote, and he was like, and that's kind of some slang that youngsters use, like, hey, it was like fun, it was like this, it was like that. So perhaps better English would be, or better writing would be, and the doctor said, and then quote the doctor, not the doctor was like.
Right, but this is something that you'll hear very commonly in the United States, especially, as Hazel said, from younger people. If you listen to teenagers have a conversation, maybe they're explaining who said what, they won't say, well, my friend said go, and my other friend said stay. They'll say, oh, my friend was like, we should really do it, and my other friend was like, no, we shouldn't. The idea is you're explaining what they said, but you're using the phrase was like. And as Hazel also said, it's not proper standard English, it's more informal, more slang almost. But because this is a quote, of course we're putting down exactly what she said.
Right. We would very seldom see this in writing unless
yes.
Perhaps it's a quote.
So the idea is she's saying what the doctor said. He said you should pursue it. Here, Zach, what is it? Pursue it.
It being the dog.
So keep trying.
Keep trying. Pursue it. Go after it.
And what is his advice to her?
Well, don't get discouraged just because one person told you no. And actually, it's surprising to me that first she had to wait 9 months, and then they said no. And then she waited 4 years, and perhaps she really wanted the service dog but didn't think it was possible because one person discouraged her. So you have to remember to pursue something. Don't just stop at the first no. If it's something you really think would work or you really desire, keep asking. Don't give up.
That's right. And I think many of us, as soon as our way is blocked or someone tells us no, we think, oh, I'll just give up and I'll go a different direction. But if it's something you really want and you feel strongly about, you should pursue it and ask somebody else. Oftentimes, this is the case with healthcare. If one doctor tells you one thing and you don't like that advice, go and ask another one. There's no reason why you can't pursue different ideas and different treatments for something.
That's right, and I think Kiera's story is a great example of life kind of being a long road, many choices on our journey, but this encouragement comes at a great time.
Absolutely, and as Hazel pointed out, can you imagine asking a question, oh, can I get a service dog, and maybe not 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month, but 9 months? I don't think people wait 9 months for anything anymore, do
Only
we?
Only babies.
That's true. Usually, I think we're very much of an instant society now, because our cell phones can give us information right away. But in this case, probably they had to fill out an application, and then the people who provide the animal had to evaluate that. Maybe they had to interview the family just to find out if they had an animal that would be a good fit. And unfortunately, they didn't think they did.
And it could be that the organization wasn't particularly competent. We don't know, right? So so when you get that first no, maybe check around and just see.
That's right. So we're going to be continuing to talk again tomorrow, listeners, more about this interesting golden doodle. And I don't know, here in Taiwan, have you seen any?
I think there are, but I don't know.
They're very popular in the United States mm-hmm. as pets. Mm-hmm. You see them many different places because they are good.
They certainly should be. They're cute.
And what word did we learn?
Cuddly.
Yes, cute and cuddly. And who doesn't like a cute and cuddly dog? Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. I hope you will review some of these words. And if you're interested in the health field, maybe you want to say over some of these more specific medical terms. They're not something we usually use in general conversation, but they're good to know, especially if you like to read about health or about medical issues. So join us again tomorrow for more about Canine to the Rescue. We'll see you then. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.